I am Nancy Searles, and this is the fourth and last in the series of The Nature of Illness, which I have called Affirming the Self. And as we begin, we have worked this entire week with the self, we have worked with illness, we have worked with the inner energy system, we have worked with our perceptions and conceptions excuse me, of our life, and it is so imperative to have it understood by all of us. Excuse me, I wonder where that cough's coming from. It deals with the breath of life, I do know that. And it is hard for me to talk about this because it is something that is me. That all that I have talked about this week, all that I have shared with you, all that we have entered into in discussion is part of the word of the Lord. It is so easy to separate all of this material into the metaphysical. And I have been drawn on occasion into the metaphysical, and I realize when that occurs that my gifts are gone, or they do not come through to the person's benefit. The Lord does lead us, and I am being led, and I have asked to be led to recognize who I am fully and to let it shine as the Lord's work. And my semantics, because of difficulties within the church and difficulties I have had theologically with the rejection that I sense and that I have received, I am working with theological semantics. And so this is something that is a process, but I feel it does need to be talked about, that this is what we've shared is part of the word. And when I read the chapter from Revelations last night and fully recognized what we're talking about, and I don't know if you caught the verse from Hymn 164 talking about the sevenfold energy. Carol Tomer said, well, there were quite a few fathers in there, but my, that hymn fit well. And I felt that it did. So this is something, all of this you can take with you as part of walking in the light. But I wish to make that statement on the tape so that we have a clear view of the source. The source is God's love. The source is God. And so, now we were going to begin today with the question that you had raised, which I have phrased, and we need to dialogue it if it needs to go a different direction. But we have a question to talk about for a few minutes. Then I wish to enter into a meditation for those who wish to meet the child that is within us. Then I wish to talk a little bit about a couple of things for maintaining wholeness in your lives on a day-to-day basis. And then I wish to end with a cleansing meditation, in which you bring the white light of Christ into your whole being. And that, I think, is a fitting end for where we are. So, we will, my clock now, it has the right time. I figured out how to set it, talk to it a little bit, move the quartz around a little bit, and it's working. What is the power that changes a should with respect to the authority of God to a want to as in thy will be done. Now, is that, okay, what is the power that changes the should, I have to obey, to I want to, thy will be done? What are your thoughts? What do you think happens with that? What is the power?
The Holy Spirit.
Okay, the Holy Spirit.
Your faith.
Faith.
What else? What changes it from I have to because I've been told to I want to open up?
I think God does that within us. It's not something that we have control over.
Okay, God does it within us. We do not have control over it.
Being willing to give, to let go. Mm-hmm.
Being willing to let go. Okay. It's a process, isn't it? Do you see this as being both God's working through us, but we have to be open. In fact, knock, and you shall receive. God cannot enter where he's not welcome.
It talks about rebirth.
Rebirth?
Yes.
Rebirthing. In the there's a lot of rebirthing going around, but rebirthing within Christ. And anything else?
Through prayer, ask that we be willing, help us to accept.
Help us to become open to accept thy will. So now we're seeing kind of a circular. We need to ask, we need to realize that there is, in fact, the possibility of a change as we give up control. Now, this would all seem to go contrary to everything we are talking about, doesn't it? Give up our will to God and give up our control to let go. It is not contrary to anything that we have talked about this week. There are various levels and aspects of taking responsibility. Part of taking responsibility for our lives is in recognizing that God is with us and that God is there for us. Part of taking responsibility is thy will be done. Now that has to sound like a paradox. It is, and it is not. But if we do not take responsibility for where we find ourselves and for the shoulds and oughts that appear in our lives, and if we do not take about our environmental situation, the cultural parent, we are going to be focused right there with all the stuff around us. And that controls our life. There is no room for anyone else's will to be done, because you're already giving it away to everyone else. Your will already, you don't have any. How can God work through a person who has given everything away? It's all part of one process. One part doesn't come before the other. In other words, you don't go down the checklist of taking responsibility and then say, okay, God, thy will be done. I'm ready now. It all moves in process. So that all that we have been talking about is part of the process of saying, thy will be done, thy will, I am an empty vessel. For me, taking this responsibility and working within the framework that our being on this earth at this time has given, I will say, us, you know, within the framework, within, certainly within God's framework at this point, but taking care of our own stuff. God doesn't need to take care of your mother's pull on you or your daughter's pull on you when you're giving into it. That's something, okay, he will help through prayer, through meditation. There's all sorts of help along the way. All we have to do is ask in prayer, give me guidance as I struggle where I find myself. And then this growth occurs and develops as we are increasingly within the light, as we are increasingly at the point where we can in fact be empty, because there's no one pulling on us. We are now firmly within what psychologists call the adult. Now, this is precisely where Dan and I got into discussion. I will talk about the child and the adult in fairly Jungian terms, and where I will be coming down the line. I know this, and I feel that Dan's presence has been a guidance for me. I have been asking for help in this. And early in March, I as my house was yanked out from under me, and I was told I was going to, you know, I had to move, and I ended up moving to a place that in fact is a sacred Indian ground and a healing place. And now people are coming simply to be on the property because it feels good. But once I asked for help, you know, everything began to happen, and I'm saying, well, wait a minute, you know, maybe on my terms. No, it doesn't happen that way. But I feel that Dan's presence at this point is going to be the help that will provide a bridge from these Jungian terms I'm using when I say stand in the fully in the adult, that you may be, that we all may be empty vessels and receive the word of the Lord. There's a mixed, you know, there's mixed language there, which I feel comfortable with, but I realize that for many it does raise flags for theologians, and this is what we'll deal with this afternoon a little bit. So I want you to ask, those of you particularly who have been through the other sessions, to ask from the point of view of the theological. But we become whole within the adult, working our issues through with the help that we need and we ask for, and when we ask, we receive. Forgiveness through the grace of God is with us. Forgiveness is with us always. As we make mistakes, we are forgiven. We ask repentance, and that is our offering. We have already been forgiven, but the Lord is working with us and through us at every moment of every day. And as we ask, he opens doors as we need them open. And I also should say, I talk about God and I talk about he. This is I do not, God and he are beyond the inclusive issue for me. And I need to be upfront with that on the tape. If I spend my time trying to get God out of the he, I'll lose everything where I am. So if that, I don't wish to offend anybody. As I talk about God, I will be talking about he, simply because it does not mean male to me. But that is where I am. Okay. Comments or questions before we enter into a meditation, those who wish to. This is not mandatory that you do this. But any questions or comments?
You mentioned it was difficult for you because opposition, but you feel you need to do this. In the Bible it says, he who knows it and does it not, to him it is sin.
That is right. To him who knows and does it not, it is sin. That is right. And for the last year, I have been living with the knowledge and the pain, and that has to do with the ego and letting go of stuff that has been familiar and comfortable. And I recognize that, and that is why I am who I am.
And also, we shouldn't put a basket over our knowledge.
Hide the light under a basket. And I have been hiding, I have been doing that. To the point where I found myself on an emergency room table facing whether I was going to go on or not. So the Lord pushes us to the very farthest point
and
to be God heard.
Says to him that if he is given more, the more he expects.
He's given more, the more he expects. Oh, yes. And I'm saying, well, just a few guarantees. Just let me hang on over here. No, let me. And it doesn't work. We just keep going ahead. And that is the beauty of it. And I look back even weeks, and I see the changes that are occurring. So this is no longer my path. And that, again, would seem to contradict what I've said, but know that it does not. And we can, hopefully we'll have a little bit of time for discussion of any of this.
Do you find more acceptance within the charismatic community?
Yes. Yes, but I have found also that I have been reticent to work with can be a movement. The charismatic situation, which I'll call it for lack of a better word, has many in it who judge. And there are, as with anything, there are various facets of the charismatic movement. Until I know where I fit within it, I was part of a charismatic movement through the Episcopal Church that worked, you know, I found that this was quite a while ago. I would not be able to be part of that now with where I am. So I'm pretty much working without, I've not been drawn to any charismatic movement, but without books, without courses, without degrees, without any, you know, there's what more guidance does one need than the Lord's Word? Possibly one will be made known to me that I can work with. I think an avenue has opened up as of this morning. And it has been needed, I have asked for it, and I have received it. And I go home to follow it and pursue a group of people of this nature.
I don't think that you contradict God at all. I mean, I think it's perfectly acceptable of me. I must need to say something else, but it's in my mind. But I'll think of it later.
Okay.
Bringing this to a very practical level, I think a lot of us have recently retired. When I first retired, the phone was ringing constantly with, will you do this? Will you do this? Will you do this? And every one of them, it bothered my conscience to turn it down. But then I realized, well, it's impossible to do all of these things, and that you have to make a choice of one or two now. Not saying that you won't do the rest in the future, but, you know, you can't get yourself. I didn't want to get myself so involved as I was before retirement that I hardly had time to think.
Well, this is true, and becoming involved in many facets after retirement or with any new venture, you can be pulled by those requests for help.
And they're all wonderful causes.
really good. Yeah, and the causes can be very good, and...
This is what I was just going to say, makes us able to say no and feel good about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Sort of.
Well, saying no and feeling good is part of the responsibility that we have talked about the rest of this week. And that's where a lot of this is founded. And that is your own boundaries, with the Lord's help, mm-hmm. but your boundaries that we live with as we walk this earth. Okay, I want you to sit comfortably in your chair. Now, let me add that if you do not wish to go through this meditation, just simply sit and relax. There is no compulsion to go through this at all. It is there for you if you wish. What we're going to do is meet the child that was within us, the child that exists within us prior to the time when the conformity begins, prior to the time when the shoulds and oughts of the home and our families and the environment around us, prior to that time when everyone else gets a hold of us. And we're going to ask the child what he needs from us. You will be able to talk to your child. We will go to the special place that we went to earlier this week, and for those who were not here, was anyone not here earlier in the week when, okay, we will recreate the special place, and those of you who have gone to a special place will be able to go back to that special place. Now, first of all, are you relaxed? Okay, I want you conscious, and this is another exercise, but you're relaxed, right? Okay, I want you to relax your shoulders. Relax your back. Are you aware of a change? You just said you were relaxed. Has there been any change as I asked you to relax your shoulders and relax your back and relax your arms and relax your legs? The point I am making is that you think you're relaxed. Realize that you are still holding yourself in control. This is one point of affirmation. First thing in the morning is to sit and go through the body and relax each part. So now we are going to do this, and then we are going to go on a journey together for a few minutes. Okay, I want you to take a deep breath and relax. You can let your head rotate in your neck. Relax your head. Be aware of your shoulders relaxing, your arms, your torso, your hips relaxing, your upper legs. Feel your knees relax. Feel your lower legs relax. And your feet. Now I want you to center carefully within yourself as you sit in this room. You need to block out Dan's voice in the next room. Become present within yourself as we begin this journey. Become present within yourself. Now I want you to visualize yourself sitting in a meadow. You can walk into this meadow. It is full of flowers, full of colors, full of the fragrance of spring. And I want you to walk to the center of this field and there is a rock in the middle of this field. And you sit down on the rock, and you feel the sun on your back, and you're aware of the flowers around you, the beautiful colors. And you are aware of the forest in front of you. Now you get up off your rock and walk through this bed of flowers, feeling the flowers brush your legs as you walk through them. Feel the sun on your back. And you come to this forest. As you enter the forest by the path that is there for you to walk on, you now feel the dark, cool presence of the forest. The trees that are on either side of you, the path underfoot covered with leaves and needles, and very quiet under the step of your foot. You walk down this path, and it turns to the right, and it turns to the left, and you walk with the curving path underfoot, and you come out at a green meadow. Very green grass, and it feels good to sit in this green grass. This is a place of resting and growing on your way to your special place or as you return from your special place. You may rest there for a moment and feel the grass and feel the sun on you. And be renewed from the days trials, anything you may have encountered since you have been up this morning. Feel refreshed as you sit here in this meadow. And now, refreshed and ready to find your special place, you continue on the path that you were on, which again enters the forest. You walk along the continuation of this path, and you come up to the edge of a ridge. And as you go over the top of this ridge and go down the other side, there in front of you is your special place. It may be a home, it may be a building, it may be a patch of grass. It may be another meadow, it may be a stream, whatever it is, this is your special place that you have come to as you go over the top of this ridge. Now you go to your special place. If it is a building of some kind, you go in. It is your home. It is your place. And you make yourself comfortable in your special place. Sit down and enjoy where you are. Enjoy your surrounding. Be with it. Be with your space. Look around. See what is around you. This is a very important space for you. And now coming toward you in your space through the door of the building or coming to sit by you is your very young child. How old is your child? This is your child, free of all that this world has done with you. Through the shoulds, through the oughts, through the conformity, through the pressures that you have received. This child who runs to you laughing, with eyes smiling, is your child. You pick this child up and embrace this child. And the child laughs and looks at you in the eyes, looks at you with that open wonder and awe that only the innocent child has, looking right into your eyes. You put the child down next to you. This is your child. And your child can give you information about the child that is within you. This child will speak to you. Ask the child now what the child inside you needs to be whole and happy and free within you. What does this child need? Talk to your child. Let the child speak to you. You may ask the child questions. The child will answer you. This has been only a short visit with our child. Know that you can come back, bring this child to you in your special place anytime that you wish to talk to your child. So now your child, as your child sits next to you, I want you to picture your child becoming smaller and smaller and smaller until your child fits easily in the palm of your hand. And I want you to bring your child up to your heart and let your child enter the space which is your love, which is the place of God's love working through you. Allow your child to become part of the space which is your love. Feel the child within you. And know that the next time you wish to speak to this child will be beside you from within your heart and will be able to speak through you. This is the only time when the child came to you from other than within yourself. From now on, this child can come from within you, and you will see your child sitting beside you when you wish to talk to your child. Now prepare to leave your special place. Know that you can come back here whenever you wish. Go to the top of the ridge and down the other side and into the forest, walking back toward the green grass. And now back into the forest along the path that again turns to the right and to the left. And come out in the meadow where you began. and walk through the meadow to the rock that is in the center, and sit on your rock. And now, on the count of five, you will be back in this room and fully aware, and you will remember everything that we have done. One, two, become aware of your surroundings here. Three, four, become fully aware of your person. And five, open your eyes. I think it's very difficult with what's going on to focus. This is why I came out a little more quickly than I might other times. Were you able to have your child with you for that brief time? It may have been very difficult. Now, I have done a lot of this kind of meditating, and so it's you know, I can block out what's going on in the next room. What I would suggest, when you are quiet, if you do purchase this tape, you can use this tape as a guide to visit with your child. You can have the child that is within you seated beside you. Mine told me to play. I usually hear that. No, go stick my feet in the water. Heaven forbid. While the child is securely up somewhere else. But the child within you, this is a process of being able to work with the child. Was anybody able to have the child sitting there?
I pictured myself as I've seen myself mm-hmm. on pictures.
Mm-hmm. That's usually what happens. Mm-hmm. What age were you?
About 3 years.
Okay. Anybody else? What age?
2-year-old child.
2-year-old child.
Elsie Dinsmore type.
Okay.
Pretty Valentine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It may look like you and it may not. It may be the pictures of you that you recall. It may not be the pictures of you that you recall. But that is an introduction to getting in touch with your child. Were there any messages from your child? Okay, this probably is due to the distraction. It's very difficult to leave, you know, to turn the hearing off in something like this. So you might try it again. When this is not part of the...
There's no messages with a friend the other day either.
Okay. All of this is process. And when we enter a meditation like this, there sometimes is a block. If I was working with you singly, I could sense this and guide you. But when we're working in an entire room, it sometimes is difficult the first time to give permission to the ego to relax and to fully enter into a meditation. It is a process, and it is a process that we in this Western culture do not use well. Other cultures do a great deal of meditating. We do not. But I feel that this is a very good way to get in touch with the inner self as we are establishing boundaries. It also is the next step from dreaming. And I do agree with Morton Kelsey that dreaming is probably the only time when God can get through to us, when the ego is put aside. So like everything else, this meditating is a discipline. And it is a discipline, therefore, that needs to be practiced. And as we are used to being in control and having our own handle on things, it is very difficult to let the Lord step in. And that's the whole process that we have been talking about throughout the week. So the meditation process, which for which this is just a beginning, as it moves into deeper levels, becomes contemplative, the fully open spiritual contemplative prayer, the empty vessel, this is just a mere beginning of that, and the introduction to something which we say within the church and within Christendom, the prayer. It is very difficult for us to pray or to meditate or to work without our taking control. So part of this meditation progress is letting go of the control that's there. So, do you have any questions about what we have just done? Mm-hmm.
I guess I find myself, I don't know, I hope it's not an inappropriate question at this time.
No question is inappropriate.
I find myself, you know, in observing the process of meditation that you use.
Mm-hmm.
I see close identity with the practitioner of hypnosis. And I'm wondering,
right,
are there some of the elements of hypnosis in this, in the process of leading people into a meditation such as this and trying to trace and help them to find and identify themselves,
mm-hmm,
at that stage?
Yes, there is an element of hypnosis. Realize with any leading or guiding of this sort that you have your own boundaries. Now, it's a little different when I work one-to-one with someone. You actually guide in this kind of hypnosis. I have no control over you at all. All I can do is provide parameters that will help the ego to be put aside and to open up to the spiritual. No, I do not direct any traffic. Now, with hypnosis, where you're taken into a deep trance, you still, your subconscious and your unconscious are still going to be the guide of what happens. You will never say anything or do anything that is alien to your inner self. But that is not opening up necessarily to the Holy Spirit. That is opening up to the inner self, and that's a point very well made. This is part of this paradox that I am working with. And that is why this is the first time I have ever done any of these meditations with a group. When I work with an individual, I know where the Holy Spirit is working through and in what respect the work is happening. I can sense that with a group, and my feeling this morning is that we are somewhat close to it as a group. Part of it may be the distraction. Part of it may be that some of you are leaving. But this is the sense I am getting. And when I receive this sense, then I handle it as I have a little bit differently. And your observation would be right on, that this would come less toward the Holy Spirit, what we have done, than toward the traditional. I feel that too. So that's why I say I offer it as a method. And you can, what you do before you enter into any meditation by yourself, is ask that the Lord protect and guide you and keep you from harm. Now, I guided you through this one, so I had said that within myself, for all of us. I will offer one more meditation, which is to bring the light of the Lord within you and to fill you with the light, with the Holy Spirit, that you may hear the word. And this one, before doing that, we will ask for protection. But this one, the second one, is much more directly a prayer and not hypnosis. It is an act of emptying, an act of putting the ego aside to let the Lord's words speak through and to fill oneself with the white light, which is, in fact, it's what we've been talking about this week, is the seven colors of the rainbow all together. Does that answer? And I have the same dilemma you do with this. And this is a struggle that is going on with me constantly.
I guess the struggle that goes on in within me, and that concern as a theologian, is that, you know, these gifts that you're talking about, is there any possibility of some of the rest of us also having those gifts?
Of course.
And do we have them?
Well, that I cannot answer.
Does God single out people within the community of believers with those gifts, in the sense that so we know who they are and so that we can identify with them and find help for our needs there? You see,
well, this is
I'm thinking of the whole body, the whole church,
right,
their need.
Yes.
It upsets me a little when I sense it. Here's one individual, but where are all the rest of us that are?
Well, this is what I'm asking too. Where are others who are given God's gift of healing? Yes, here is one, and very reticent and having a lot of trouble coming forth. And I am now finding that there are others who are also having this difficulty. And yes, so that the Holy Spirit can work through his instrument to help others meet their needs. Yes, I am asking the same question. Where are others?
But he has told us there are a variety of gifts.
And
if I don't have the same gift as you do, it doesn't make me less a person.
Oh, we're not even, absolutely not. We all, no, absolutely not. Each person's gift is as important as each other's person's gift.
I realize you are saying.
Oh, absolutely. And the only sin is if your gift is not recognized by you. Whatever it is, it can be anything at all. We each are equally gifted.
Is it even necessary that we are conscious of our gifts? Sometimes I feel that if we want to know what those gifts are, then we start kind of misusing them rather than letting them flow out.
Well, as you're saying, that we use them.
But we don't have to be conscious of it. Just like I was saying this morning, I had a reunion with students I'd taught 40 years ago, and they kept saying, well, Miss Wiggum, did you know that you said this and this? And
yes.
I wasn't conscious of it at all, but somehow it had helped those students.
Yes.
Do something.
And that is a tremendous gift.
And if you were conscious of it, I don't think it would be as effective.
That is absolutely true. There are reasons that I need to be aware of what is happening. and apparently need to be aware of guidance that I specifically need. Yes?
And a lot of times these things, like she was mentioning, I sat in a restaurant just a couple of weeks ago, and one of the people that I had been as a clergyman, I performed the ceremony of their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I practice, of course, premarital counseling. And in the course of that conversation with them, I guess I had shared the insight of living and growing together. One of the primary things to remember, you always have to be ready and able to forgive.
Yes.
Practice forgiveness of one another. I had said this 30 years ago, 25 years ago, and the young man was sitting like I sat here, and he had his back to him, and others I recognized because they were members of the parish that I served. He married in to a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Pastor, you may not remember this, but I remember one thing you said in our premarital counseling, and never have forgotten it. And I said, well, what was that? And it was that point that he says, you counseled us to always be ready to forgive. Forgiveness is the vital part in establishing and building and maintaining relationship. And of course, that came out of my understanding and my pastoral understanding of the necessity and the need of forgiveness for spiritual growth.
But it was something that at that point was a gifting to that person.
Yes.
Through you.
So you see, I guess what I'm trying to say is that the word of God, forgiveness, and is a healing power, because that is not my word, that's God's word.
That is,
you know.
Right. That is. And the forgiveness. And the love,
yes,
and the working through us in His way, each one of us, a different way, at different times.
So that's also interesting. You may have said that to almost every young couple you've married, and the rest of them didn't remember it, and this one did.
That's the frustration that you have. People can be under the hearing of the gospel all
you never know,
their life, sitting there listening, and they don't hear it.
That's right. That's absolutely true.
And that's frustrating.
In chapter 9 of Romans, God says, I will what I will. And one I hate and one I love, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that God chooses people to do different things. Another thing I was to bring up, you mentioned dreams. I read that people that dream, you know, about things and get it out of their system. If they're angry at somebody, if they dream, their mind is healthier.
Well, dreams are a whole different subject that we just barely touched on, but that was a week ago. And dreams are critical to our well-being, absolutely critical to our well-being. And the working with your dreams is one way of affirming the self and of working with the things that are going on and receiving the word. Last year when I was here and I dreamed, and it was a very significant dream, the telephone rang in my sleep. And I thought in my sleep, there's no telephone at Holden. And then I thought, oh, I'd better wake up and take note. Now, you will also give yourself messages to remember, but dreams are a whole other subject of affirmation. There is a question back here.
The word said God gives us a sound mind, and we ought to use it. And so there's many times when we're questioned, our mind is upset, and lots of times it's because someone else confused us with their thought. But always remember, God gave you a sound mind and me a sound mind, and we better use it.
And this, a lot of exactly what you're saying, is what we have been working with this week.
I haven't been here, so.
Okay, but coming, what you're addressing where we have been this week in the releasing and working with some of the issues that may prevent us from having the, what I would call an adult, sound, balanced, free mind. Exactly. That is, then we can become the empty vessel, as we were saying earlier, once we have dealt with some of the issues that are a little bit more grounded. One thing that I was reading in a book of the Adult Children of Alcoholics, Step 11 of the ACOA book, is a very good method, I think, of affirmation, and something I offer to you as a daily means of affirmation, in addition to whatever prayers, whatever meditation, whatever morning prayer, however you bring the word of the Lord into your day each day. It may just be with a thought, it may be with morning prayer. I use the Episcopal morning prayer, which has always been very comfortable for me. But in the morning, step 11 of ACOA, step 11 of the 12-step program, is asking in morning prayer for guidance. Pray for guidance during the day. Ask the Lord to be with you as you work, as you struggle with all the issues that we've talked about this week, all the issues of the self, all the shoulds and oughts, all the boundaries that you're struggling to have and to establish within yourself, the people you are forgiving, the people you ask to forgive you in your daily path. We've talked about taking responsibility. This does not mean taking charge and leaving God out. It's just the opposite. It is taking responsibility for the sound mind that in fact invites the word of the Lord in to your day. Greet the Lord in the morning. Welcome the Lord into your day. And then during the day, step 11 of ACOA talks about asking at any time when you're at the point of a struggle or you're at the point of a decision, ask the Lord to be with you. Ask, be conscious of asking for the Lord's help. And at the end of the day, review the day and ask for the Lord's guidance as you sleep, and this includes dreams, and for a safe night that you may meet the next day. I think that is a wonderful step after the preceding 10 of the 12 step. As we invite the Lord to be part of our lives, that we may be empty vessels for His filling. And I realize now that we are a little bit short of time. Are there any questions or comments?
When you're on this, is this living in the adult area, is that like a continuum?
A continuum, absolutely. Do you mean moment by moment, or do you mean, what are you?
Well, maturing at the adult level.
Maturing, mm-hmm.
So would it be more difficult to get in touch with your child if you were further along on the adult level?
Well, adult, no. Quite the contrary. The closer, the more in the adult you are, in other words, you are establishing your boundaries, you are not being should upon all the time, and you are taking responsibility for who you are in the day-to-day with the Lord's help, the farther into adult you are, the more your child is with you. Because as you are in the adult, you are free. Your child is right there with you. You are able to play. You are able to enjoy. You are able to relax with life. Nobody's pulling at you. So your child will be increasingly with you as you keep others from taking your responsibility or your power from you. Well, it's quite the reverse. You are not removing yourself, you're coming together. That's a difficult concept and worthy of quite a bit more discussion. But I will end this formally, but I am here to talk to anybody. This took quite a different path than I decided that today had to be kind of loose. I'm very glad I did. It may add some paradoxes, but we after all do live in a paradox. And it is, we are in a paradox between what happens on earth that we do, supposedly, and God, who supposedly is up there, which God is within us and with us at all times, but we do live in what we might consider to be a paradox. And I recognize from where I sit that it is not a paradox, but all that you are saying is where, you know, the difficulties I am struggling with, and it's not my struggle, I am asking for guidance and help.